are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, it is. It's another one of those Casual Reds shows. It's a beautiful Tuesday. We're brought to you by Berloren, Malukian, and Shaq Gideon. BMS is their call. Over a decade of experience with real results. Maximize your compensation with this law firm. Just go on to Instagram settlements. This week, a settlement for $200,000. Another settlement for $900,000. Personal injury, wrongful death, wrongful firing, some business things. Just don't kill man. They don't like that. But they can refer you to somebody to handle that. Berloren, Malukian, and Shaq Gideon, BMS. The phone number is 747-444-4444. In the beautiful city of Sherman Oaks, California, with a 98 success rate, one of the finest law firms in the state of California. All right, so let's jump to the show, bring in the crew. We've got a lot to talk about, but first let's do some introductions. Join us again, as they call her on MUTV, the chairperson of the Los Angeles group, Amani, my sis. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Oh, wow, okay.
That was good.
The body gets to the point, that's it. All right, and my man Mikey, representing the South. What's going on, brother? How you feeling? Here comes some fuckery.
What's going on, man? Hey, I just want to put some thoughts with the people that's going through the hurricane.
Yeah, big ups.
In the Caribbean. Hey, cheese, you know what I'm saying? Hold your head, man, you know what I'm saying? Hunker down, brother. You know, and it's supposed to be a Category 5, so.
That's real.
I'm just hoping everybody can get through that. No fuckery today.
Yeah. Big blessings. The whole East Coast, Caribbean, all them type things. My man representing Pittsburgh United. Sean, what's going on? How you feeling today, my friend?
I'm doing good, man. I'm enjoying the new job. Back out in the field today. So getting some people signed up. So I'm enjoying it.
Feel it. And in the studio with me, once again, Jeremy Sanchez.
What up?
How you feeling?
Feeling good. Shout out to the United States national team.
Oh,
this golden
Lord.
Era that went out just like the worst Mexican national side that has shown out. So it looks like both of them got knocked out. Way to go. Golden era for the U.S. men's team.
Let's go.
Since we're there.
How did Canada go through, but USA didn't?
I feel like that referee was on the... Something was wrong, man. That referee was tricky.
But let's be real. Even if he did not give that goal, U.S. still needed a score for them to move on. So they did not do enough.
You know, sometimes in a match, you can give a team momentum. You can give them calls at the right time. You cannot give a advantage at the right time. And that has effect on the game. And I think there was two moments the referee took away the advantage, and I think they were not saying they were going to go score, but they were on attack, and I didn't think that was right. So a lot of stuff going on in these tournaments. Are we going to talk about Jude? Let me go into Jude.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm going to put my hand up, first of all. Amani, first of all, would you like to speak on the U.S. national team? I know you had some posts.
What can I say? And you know, when you put up with, you know, mediocre management, you're going to end up with mediocre results, point blank. So, and the U.S. Federation is not willing to make a change, so you're just going to have to live with it.
I think that's fair. I think definitely the coach is under the bubble. The U.S., especially for CONCACAF, the USA should be doing a lot more. Anybody else would like to chime in on the USA men's national team? All righty then. So let's go into
instead, baby.
I'm going to put my hand up. I know I was one of the people who's questioning if this guy was world class.
Oh,
and I stopped it. No. I've stopped that.
You said that with the straight face.
I know. I have stopped that. I've stopped that weeks ago.
All right.
I am admitting he is world class, but it's just amazing how this kid. I'm speaking about Jude Bellingham. He has something in him. Pause. Where he can find, he comes around at the right moment to do something incredible.
It's a baller.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it.
Goal of the tournament.
It is looking like that so far.
I mean. Well, just how important it was.
There we go.
45th minute. That's. And he's also on, like, with that goal, on track to win the Ballon d'Or this year. Don't give me Mbappe crap, because that guy can't even score a goal in the Euros.
Wow. Mbappe. I don't want to go into that subject. I have
Mbappe.
You know, I don't want to go into that because that draws controversy too. But yeah,
we don't want to get into the comparisons.
Huh?
I said I agreed with Sean last episode. I don't think Mbappe is world class. I think he's a little overrated.
Hit. There we go. Now we're there. I think he's. I'm about to get killed for this.
This is crazy.
Please.
Crazy. Oh, okay. The man who won the World Cup at 21 with 7 goals in the World Cup is overrated.
How many has he got this year?
In the World Cup?
No, in the Euros.
1. And how many does he have this season?
What was that?
43. He had 50 last season.
Yeah,
what are we talking about?
Again,
he had eight in the Champions League. He had the most in the Champions League for the last 2 years.
Get him, Mike. Get him.
Stop.
Does it come out to wins, though?
Do you know who had really good goals? Wayne Rooney. Do you know who couldn't score a goal in the championship? Wayne Rooney. He had 1 World Cup goal, baby.
I feel like Mbappe is definitely an athletical phenomenon. I think he reminds me of... This is the hot take.
Oh, man.
He reminds me a lot of Rashford, where I want him to develop that mental side of the game, that the more game awareness. I think that's something he and Rashford can do a lot better. You just don't have to be speed and try and power past people and blow past people. At some point, you got to put some, you know, savviness to your game, some type of. Jeremy, you're looking at me like I'm insane.
I mean, I think that's the Manchester United fan in you,
He's
man.
Just a Manchester.
That's
he's
just the Manchester United fan in you, man.
No, everybody that saw this clip was like, these two guys are nuts. What's wrong with them? These are the people you have on your show? I said,
careful where you're going, Casey.
Just forgive them. They'll be all right.
Abadi, am I messing up the show's credibility by saying that I feel like...
Made it worse.
Okay, remove the Rashford part of it. I just think he can work on that part of his game a little bit more. Is that fair?
This isn't the Mbappe show. Next topic.
All right. I feel like I'm destroying the show's credibility. Let's on to Manchester United. First of all, I think the hot news right now is our new management group, our new structure. I believe there's some surprises. With all the names that we have seen on paper right now, I'm going to ask everybody, how do you feel about what Ineos has done? Jeremy, go first.
I think it's good. I mean, finally got the structure going, got the guys in place. Now you're starting to see the noise coming out. Guys are trying to sign. It's just, we got to just start signing guys. And I mean, what's the guy we're getting? Dalit, possibly getting him, Xerxes, right? So it's all positive, man. Finally, we got a respectable front office that knows what they're doing and they know football.
Let me run it down to everybody so you can get the visual. You have top of the table, you have Sir Jim. Under him is Jean-Claude. Then David Brailsford. Then you have Omar. Then you have Jason Wilcox and Dan Ashworth underneath him. And then there's this name that we all just heard for the first time, I think yesterday, Christopher Vivelli. Vivelli. And then there's Erik ten Hag and some surprise names. The two coaches, we have Van der Sar and
Rene Hockey.
Yeah, Rene Hockey. Big Mike, how did you feel about what Ineos has done? Sorry, Sean. If you want to jump in, Sean, go ahead.
Big Mike, you go.
They haven't done anything yet but hire people. So when they start doing things, I will once they start signing players, and I saw that there's some construction going on.
Yeah.
At Old Trafford, so I saw that. But I got to see some more. I'm not really a fan of that. They kind of pissed me off with what they're doing to the women's team, or his remarks towards the women's team. That kind of pissed me off, mm-hmm. being that how successful they've been. I got a daughter, man. You know what I'm saying? She watches them, you know, so she wants to play football. So I want to push that as much as I can, and not to make it about me, but there's other little girls that care about that team. You know what I'm saying? So for him to poo-poo that team after they've done what they've done in such a short time is crazy. So they have to start doing actual things for me to come around.
Amani, jump in there. Your remarks, how do you feel?
There's no interpreting what Sir Jim said, because you see the response from Mary Earps and her goodbye.
I read that.
Message, and even from, what's her name? They all say the same thing. The club is going in a direction that doesn't fit with, you know, what they want. And so it's been communicated in more detail to these women, more than the sound bites we got off his interview with, was Bloomsburg, was it?
Bloomberg, yeah.
So, yeah, it's very, very disappointing. I mean, I've, you know, gone to Manchester to watch the women's team. You know, I have a daughter, too, who, you know, loves football and wants to play football. And it's very, very disappointing, especially when, they've been this successful. But, hey, you know, I mean, I find it so hard to believe that there wasn't room for both teams to practice at the training field. I mean, come on. You can do a split schedule, something. But to build this thing, say it's for the women, and then immediately say, nah, y'all in the outhouse because the men are coming in. That's just wrong.
Sean, you.
Yeah, I agree. What they're doing to the women, women's team, especially Mary Earps, who's been such a long servant for them, for her to come out and say that they're going in the wrong direction and that she's at a late stage of her career and she can't stay, is a big disappointment. But through INEOS, other than that, they've just built a backroom staff that I'm going to say is probably the best backroom staff in the UK right now.
Thank you, Sean. I mean, I understand what everybody's complaints are right now, and the women's thing is, I can't believe that when I saw Sir Jim talk about it, but I'm saying the assembly, the people that we've put together, mm-hmm. how do you feel? I mean, we've never had this at Manchester United, so
this since David Gill left with Sir Alex Ferguson, like a competent backroom staff. And to go to Mikey's point a little bit, I'm going to go out and call it here. By the end of next week, we have the Lit and Zizki on as our Man United players. I think they're going to move fast as of right now. I think by the end of next week, they have both of those players signed.
Speaking on that, on those signings that you said they're possible next week.
It'll be as soon as the Dutch go out.
Yeah, that's what the rumor is about, especially, I mean, once the Dutch got out, everybody said the deals are on the table. They're ready to go. Mm-hmm. You know, player agreements, the clubs have talked. Everything is there. This needs to be presented, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember that it's a FIFA thing that no one's allowed to talk to the players like this other than the agent.
Right.
So they can't sign during the Euros anyway. They literally can't do it. So, you know, obviously De Ligt has been clearly, and Zerski have both been talking to Ten Hag over the phone. He's obviously got encouragement. De Ligt, I'm only a little bit worried about De Ligt, but at the end of the day, that guy's going to come out right next to the Butcher and be able to play Ten Hag football instantly. And that's something that's refreshing.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Speaking on De Ligt that you just mentioned, Sean, good point. My boy Casey has something to say about that, right? Weren't we just discussing that earlier?
Well, I feel there's some concerns. How old is De Ligt? Old is De Ligt? 24?
24.
He's been at Ajax, and I know that's where he started.
Yeah.
He's been at Juve.
Yeah.
And he's been at Bayern. Juve and Bayern have both been okay with saying peace. Go ahead. This is what I need y'all for.
Writing a petition to get him to stay.
I was going to
the people there.
I'm going to back you on that. But that's the fans. The club is like, you can go. So I was going to say, the fans are putting out a petition to keep him. Is there something behind the scenes about Dalit that I know we can't read into everything? What is it about him where the upper management, because it seems like the supporters seem to dig him. I'm just throwing that red flag.
No, I get you. But is it the upper management or is it the actual manager that wants this?
Yeah, it could be too.
When people
yeah.
talk about his injury list, I've got it in front of me. The most games he's ever had out was in 2020-21 for Juve. He had 17 games out with a shoulder injury. And the next is a knee ligament tear in 2023. And he came back from that injury in 9 games. Mm. 9 games for a ligament tear. So what's this talking about? He's injury prone. Other than that, the most games he's had out is 5. So I'm not understanding where this injury prone is coming from.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, he's been out 5 games, but how often is he out for minor things, 5 games, 4 games? You know what I'm saying? How often
is
that?
So in 2020, he was out for Juve. He was out for 3 games, just 2 games, 3 games, and 2 games. 2021, he was out for the 17 games with a shoulder injury, and then he had coronavirus, so that we ain't even going to call that an injury. And then 2023, he was out for a maximum of 4 games. And then 2023-24, he was out for a maximum of 15 games, both with in a knee ligament.
Well, compared to our center backs, he's durable.
Yeah.
So, and that's not the problem.
I mean, and has he been playing in the wrong way?
To be fair, before Martinez got there, he had only missed like 3 games. He had missed like 7 games in his whole career, like, you know, for Argentina and all the clubs he's played for. And, you know, not until just last year, he missed all half the season. So that's all. You can have a guy that's a brick wall, but then get to United and their crazy medical staff situation. Hey, you never know. So
I'm not really going to go on the medical stuff with Martinez. At the end of the day, he re-broke his foot. So obviously that's not the injury. The next one was a freak accident where he twisted in his knee going in for a ball. That's not the medical staff. The last one, you know, muscle tear. Yes, I can see that. But the main injuries he's had is a broken metatarsal and a twisted knee. Like, there's nothing the medical staff can do about that. That's down to due to his reckless play, which we all love. But it's not really a major injury. You know, he broke his metatarsal. Beckham did it. Came back the next season and played every single game. So.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like just with the injury situation, I just like wait it out and see. I haven't heard much of injury on Delict's side, much mumble about that. So,
and most fans don't know that. Well, what I've read, people are not talking about his injury situation. They're just trying to say, you know, is there something about him that we're not seeing? But then if you look at everything, you know, he's working, the price has come down to, we might get him under 40, and his wages are going to drop to 200 a week. They're going to drop it under that. So everything is working out. It's going to be a 5-year contract. We're getting him in the prime peak of his career. I mean, he's going to be what, 20? We'll have him till he's what, at least 28, 20,
29.
So you can't complain. We can't complain. Our center back choices right now are Maguire, and I love him. And my guy, Victor Lindelof, and Evans.
Yeah.
So having someone who's young coming to the prime, it's a good thing to have.
Yeah, you got, and then you, like you said, if anyone wants to jump in here, please jump in. I know I might be speaking too much, but at the end of the day, you got Harry Maguire sitting right behind him. So if he does get injured, so the, you know, we obviously need a centre back on the left side, but. I just don't know what all they're freaking out. At the end of the day, he left Juve, not because he wanted to. He was forced to. They had to sell it.
Yeah, they went to their own final constraint.
Okay, so I can understand the Bayern aspect of, like, why is he leaving? But I don't understand the Juve. He didn't want to leave Juve, and he was forced to leave Juve.
And Bayern's one of those clubs that you want to trust and say, you know, they have a good opinion, or, you know, when they understand a player, they make great choices. And I think that might be the main thing that's bothering me.
I don't trust him.
You don't trust Bayern?
I'm going to give you one name. Mane Osane. Really? Big boy from Liverpool. Amazing player at Liverpool. I think he was catalyst in that team. And he goes to Bayern and is shockingly shite and gets fired. So, do we trust them?
Facts. On Twitter, it says we're still trying to sign Mr. Brainwith from Everton at 70. Can you believe that's still a possibility?
No, I haven't heard that.
I haven't heard that.
It's right here.
I've heard it go off the table a few times.
Yeah. Now the focus is more on Delit.
Yeah.
Delit and Cerxi and Ugarte. Those are like the three guys right now that this focused on. And all I'm seeing is like for three of them is like a what, 110, 150? Something like that for to get all three of them.
All I know is we need to bring back Uruguay.
Palestri?
We need to bring back Palestri. He's been tearing it up in the Euros, man. We could use him.
Man.
We can use that. He was bossing USA last night. The entire game. I mean, that ain't saying much.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that one.
But he's been doing it the whole tournament. And the guy, I just think he needs a real chance before we just write him off. He needs a real chance. He hasn't gotten it under Ten Hag.
It's baffling though that he can't seem to get a chance under Ten Hag. You got to ask yourself, like, what are we not seeing when he's back with United?
I don't think Eric Ten Hag rates him. From the samples we've seen? When you see Palestri and you see Antony, you're like, why is Antony even getting a boot?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing about Eric Ten Hag.
Antony's his boy.
That's
his
boy.
He's going to back his boy, and he paid 100 or 89 or whatever the hell million for his boy. So he's not going to – just like how Ali wasn't going to let – he was going to play Harry Maguire through all of it, even though, you know – he had to, but he was like, you're not going to let that much money sit on the bench. You're just not. That's your boy. So I get it, but at the same time, it's like, Palestri and Ahmad have done way more. At least Ahmad have done way more than Antony. I don't understand.
Ollie was a little justified in playing Harry Maguire, because at the end of the day, we saw what he was like this year before he got injured.
And another thing,
points, he was the best player of the season.
Watching Palestri,
his worth, it was under Ali. It was the end is just starting to be the end of Ali.
Mm-hmm.
And when Harry Maguire was at his worst, I think most hated, and he played him every game. And I was just like, hey, I respect that. It's not until Ten Hag that he started to revitalize his career a little bit with some good performances and not being a bonehead on the ball.
Oh, he's still a bonehead on the ball.
Who's a bonehead on the ball?
Before.
Yeah, I felt looking at Palestri, he looked physically well. He looked physically together. And
like to go back to your point there, though, and Imani, so I hope I'm saying that correctly. Every time he goes out alone, he's shit.
Yeah.
And he keeps getting sent back. So what, like, I get that we're seeing it for Uruguay, but he's not doing it when he goes out alone. He keeps getting sent back from his loans.
Right. So is he bad or is he not the priority there? Because he's also like coming in to be second fiddle, or is he coming in to be the main guy? He's a lone guy. He's a kid. How much time is he really getting at these other clubs to where they're like, all right, yeah, cool. We want this guy. This is going to be the guy. Or do they already have their guy in mind and this is just some filler? How much of it is that at every loan spell he's been at? Because we watched Ahmad tear it up at Sunderland. Sunderland want him, but he can't get a sniff in this team. And then he's come on and been kind of weird sometimes. So, like, you know, like, what are we – I think he just needs the games, or at least be in the team. At least. I think there's a player there, but I might be reaching. I could be wrong. Been wrong before. Shit.
I feel like Eric Ten Hag – was under a lot of pressure, and he found himself playing guys that he knew, he trusted, and he was just in that situation. Palestri, Ahmad, and we all felt like these are guys who deserve more time. He, in the back of his mind, has this thing where he was just like, I can't waste time to let these guys get going, even though they did produce. And you know, a lot of these decisions Eric Ten Hag was under, you know, he had injuries, he had players with off-field issues. He had Sancho issues. I just felt like he was just trying to play guys that he knew. And you can't fault him because he really didn't have any support. and everything right now, I think, like, if Pulisic comes back, I think he should be get a chance. Ahmad needs a chance. I don't even know why Anthony should even be on our team anymore.
No. But I do have Pulisic stats here. 2021, he was at Alves. He played 12 games, scored 0 goals. 21-22, he was at the same club, played 21 games, 0 goals. 24 at Granada, played 15 games, 2 goals.
I feel like he got a little bit of woot in him, though. Like, he's in the position, but he don't put it in the net, because even in the game against USA, he had a one in front of the goalie, and he kicked it to the right to the goalie.
Yeah, and for Uruguay, he's played in the gate 23 games for Uruguay since 2022. He's only scored 2 goals. So that's probably why.
Okay.
Those stats are worse than Anthony's.
Yeah, he's a player that looks like he's doing a lot, but the stats speak for himself. So maybe that's what Ten Hag is seeing.
Yeah, he got a little wood in him.
Could be. Yeah, doesn't it look like a guy that's more like a forward that looks more to pass?
Who played every damn game? At least he got a chance in the team to be back.
Yeah, fact on that. Let's talk about next week, July 8th. Camp will be starting, preseason camp. There's a lot of names that are still on this roster. There's a lot of names who have the right to show up next week.
I got the quote.
Oh, yes.
It was Sam Smith at the Express in the UK. It says Man United banned duo from preseason training.
Wow, that's heavy, though.
Sancho and Mason Greenwood have been told to stay away from training camp.
Good. Oh, hold on. Let me read some comments here. Cheese says, what's good? He says, the greatest football club in the world. Sam says, Amani with the pen, serious business. Sanjeev said Pulisic is better than Dan James. That's fair. I think so. I think he is too. But anyway.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let's go into what my man Sean just read.
Paul Sanjeev.
July 8th, Cass America can show up. Victor Lindelof can show up. Donnie Van de Beek can show up. I'm just telling you, people are under contract, people. July 8th, and we haven't gotten anybody out. Should we be concerned? Or tell me, how do you feel about going into July 8th?
I'm not concerned at all. The backroom staff is together for the first time. The CEO, hasn't even started until for another 2 weeks.
Omar?
I'm not concerned. Yeah.
Omar.
I'm not concerned. Going to the training ground, fine. Going on tour, keep out. If you're not supposed to be here next year, stay away from the tour.
Amani. I mean, just think about the names that can show up.
I mean, if you're, you know, under contract, you show up. You know, you show up until they tell you not to.
Have you ever heard anything like this before? I don't know. Where they tell the players you're not welcome? I mean, and we have every right to say that, I guess. Can the players say, no, I want to show up, Jerm?
Yeah, why not, man?
You've had players turn away, go train with a youth team, go train on your own, depending on things. So, yeah, I mean, they're still part of your club, but they don't have to be with the first team, depending on whatever the circumstances are.
Yeah, they're still part. They can still be a part of the club, but moving forward is a project moving along with them or without them. So, at this point, that project's not going along with them.
Go ahead, Big Mike. You're the legal counsel.
Are those checks being cleared?
Yes.
Then I'll stay away as long as you're paying. I'll stay away. $100,000 a week. I don't have to kick a ball. I'll stay away. What the hell does that mean? Sancho's getting paid in the shade. You don't care about stay away. He lifted his stock by leaving. So he's gonna get a move. He's gonna get a move. So the stay away is fine. We're still paying these clowns.
Yeah. Just have them stay away. That just brought me up a good point, Mikey. They I think the Lakers paid Luol Deng not to come. My bad. Bringing up the Lakers. And I know I'm going to get killed by that.
After he went through it. He went through it first.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I know
I'm more worried about Sancho leaving than I am Greenwood.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I mean, Dortmund's playing a funny game, don't you think, Sean?
Yeah, and I would play it too, considering what they made us pay for him. Screw you.
So
2 years they played this shit with us. It's about time that we got some backroom staff that can play that shit with another team.
Facts.
Yeah, but our ownership seems to be a group that says, this is the price. if you're not going to take it, we're going to hold out. I mean, look at Dan Ashworth. They wanted 20 or 10. We ended up paying 2, but they held out. It worked out in our favor. Is there a point where, and I'm not saying this could be drastic, where Sancho is just hanging around a little bit too long, where there's going to be some things where we got to make a choice, like either it's with the team or we're just going to send him down back with the academy again? Because you think that you can see that happening to Monty?
To play with the academy? No, I think he's too good of a player and there's some value in him. They'll come to a agreement somewhere, mm-hmm. somehow. I mean, he might end up just going on a loan somewhere if we can't sell him outright. I know that's not what they want to do, but they're not just going to let him sit on the bench and rot. You know, he's still a decent player.
Yeah, Sean made some good points. We do have a good backroom staff. And he could end up playing for, I don't know, Leeds. Something like that.
He's not going to Leeds.
I'm just saying there's other options. It doesn't have to be Dortmund.
If he's mad at us, he should just go to City.
Nah, Pep didn't want him.
Didn't City get rid of him?
Pep got rid of him a long time ago.
Pep did not want him.
He go somewhere when someone wants him.
Yeah, for real. I just think the staff will cross their bridge once they get there. They got bigger stuff to just handle at this moment. I mean, that is a big thing, right? But
it goes back to our open comments. It's good that we have a backroom staff where Sean said, we feel confident that they will get something done.
Do you want to know the difference between this year and the last 6-7 years?
Oh, God.
Have you noticed that we're actually negotiating for 2 players at the same time?
Isn't that amazing? Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. There's actually 3 deals where they said everybody's okay with it. We're just waiting for the Euros and the Copa to be done. And these things are going to happen. Because apparently, we don't talk about this guy enough, but Uruguayan, he's ready to come. He said, I'm with it.
DeLitt also said
DeLitt is with it. And the Joshua Zirkzee thing, I don't know. It's all because AC Milan doesn't want to pay the agent fees. We said we'll pay it because we can afford it. So, damn, how broke is AC Milan? But anyway, I shouldn't talk.
Broke.
Fabrizio seems to think it's going to happen, so.
Everybody feels like it's going to happen. Like deals are on the table. Just got to wait for these tournaments to be done. And then you said, Sean, that's great. That's actually 3 deals on the table ready to go. And that's exciting.
One of the best things that I actually and this goes back to the start of how we were talking about Ineos, is remember last year we wanted a player. And we would wait around to the end of the goddamn, you know.
The last 2 weeks.
The last 2 weeks to sign a player. Like we went in for the Everton player. They said no. Okay, fine. We'll move on. Do you notice how we actually have a list of freaking players?
Backup. Right,
we can't get him. We're gonna have him. We'll have him instead. If we can't get him, we'll get him. For the first time, we actually have a backroom staff and know what the fuck they're doing.
Yep. It's crazy. We caught up with modern football. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we survived this long. I mean, we wrote big checks, y'all. Y'all know it. We wrote some crazy checks. I mean, Casemiro's eating good. Sancho eating good. You know what I'm saying? So it's good. And then this guy we just hired, the Christopher guy who just left Chelsea, they said he can find talent. So we got so much going on. It's an exciting time for Manchester United. But we didn't deserve this.
What's our worst finish in the last, what is it?
Last year, 14, wasn't it? This season.
13 years? 10 years now? 11 years? What's our worst? 8th?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is 7? It.
Yeah,
it's the worst ever we finished in the Premier League.
Yeah,
during the Fergie era, we didn't finish below third.
Well, in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
season just passed.
8th.
Yeah.
Okay. Which some clubs would beg for, like West Ham.
We're not supposed to be most clubs.
No, Casey. You're right.
We're Man United, bro.
You're right.
That mentality has to be up top.
Yeah,
but that's like, what the Woodwards did to us. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault that I've said, oh, God, I just want us to be top 4 now.
We are not Arsenal. We are not them.
Exactly.
The content.
They're ahead of us.
That's also a bad thing.
I'm just so glad, though. It's all jokes aside, it's refreshing that there's people really who want to be here. I mean, if you see these people's resumes, these are good people. And look at our backup coaches. They left head coaching positions to come be with us. You know, Van Nistelrooy could have went to Burnley and been the head boss. He said, "Nah, I'll go be the number two for United." So we're getting.
Who's looking for the Van Nistelrooy teaching Rasmus how to bang a goal in? Fucking
That's what I'm looking forward to. That's something I'm looking forward to.
McCarthy, but Benny there, but you know. This is a bit of an upgrade.
I'm going to tell you where Benny lost me. When I heard the story, I don't know if it's true, but when he said to, Eric Ten Hag asked him, what's going on with Sancho? He said, Sancho can't apologize because he's from the streets, he's from the hood, and that's not what they do. Yeah. And I was like, that could have been, he could have went to told Eric Ten Hag, that's the reason why Sancho won't apologize. That's wild.
And first of all, Sancho ain't. Quote, Casey.
Huh?
I don't think that was the quote.
Okay.
What was the quote then?
It wasn't that. He got so hung up on the streets part. We argued about this. He got so hung up on the streets part, he just forgot about the quote.
Yeah. Casey, too much on that.
I just know what I thought was how Benny brought it to him. Because Sancho's excuse was like, the streets won't let me say sorry or some bullshit like that. I mean, Sancho don't know what the streets is.
Sancho's a drama queen, but
okay, that's my point.
Did what he did as well, so he was. Two people could be wrong,
but we have quality. Our coaching staff has improved.
Yeah, and to Sean's point about these like Dutch guys that about coaching, I guess the forwards, right? About Ruud van Nistelrooy coming in to show Rasmus that I would equate it to Robin van Persie wanting to go help out at Feyenoord and. Big shout out to Santi, right? He helped Santi score over 20 goals. Granted, it's the Eredivisie, but it goes to show you having an experienced coach, right? A forward coach that actually was there in that position to show a young guy where to be, what positions to be. That I'm just happy for that. Hopefully, that'll help Rasmus be in the correct positions to score goals.
Too.
Oh yeah, yep.
He need to work with Rashford.
Oh.
Oh, Rashford links again have come up. Have you guys seen these? PSG's supposed to be?
He ain't going out. I would like to get rid of him. I think it's time for him to move on mentally. But I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, get him on to PSG.
Get him on to PSG, Casey.
I want him to go to PSG for the simple fact of our conversation.
That's what I was talking about. That's what I was talking about.
You score 30 goals a season in that league.
I want to see if he can get 40 goals in the French league because he can't.
He'll bang that league
out. That's what I was going to say. I want him to go to PSG to show up that he is just like who we were mentioning earlier.
Amani.
I want to see it too.
Just for that alone, I want to see it.
Amani, my sister.
Exactly.
You understand ball. Now, but Mbappe is going crazy in this league on.
Right.
I said Rashford would score 30 goals a season in that.
This is where I'm going to disagree with you, Kate.
All right, here we go. Everybody loves to disagree.
We can agree that Mbappe can score 40 in the Farmers League. I don't think he's capable of 40 anywhere you play him. You can go to Saudi and he won't score 40.
Wow, you just think the effort's that bad?
He said Saudi.
I
can see Big Mikey about to blow a lid right now.
Yeah, I know.
I agree. He's trash. He's nowhere near. He can't lace this man's boots. It's crazy.
It's crazy. I'm not saying Amani, you said something very important there. You said effort.
Ashford is so his effort's poor. And on these wages, because he's a local boy, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. You're right. I'm gonna keep
I
up.
Love him. I love him, but I don't love his football. But I love the kid. I love Marcus Rashford, but
his effort is poor.
That's true. I don't see it in him to be close to none. Even last year, he wasn't close to being in an Mbappe style.
He wasn't even close to himself the previous year.
Not last year.
No. I know I'm a romantic, and I love Rashford. I want it to happen, but he's so lazy out there. His body language is poor. He doesn't even put himself where a guy could pass him the ball, and you know he just walks. And I just don't understand that part. As some greats have said about him, even Rooney, he's got to fix this problem himself.
Yep.
You know, he knows the DNA. He grew up in it. He understands the Bucks. He knows out of anybody there, and he's not responding.
My problem with Rashford is that when he gets that ball in the final, in that final stage, is that you could see him figuring it out, like trying to think about it. And I feel like before he was reckless. He would just go at guys, step over, put nutmeg, something. He would go around guys, you know. Now I feel like he's thinking about it so much, the pressure's on him, and then the defense has a chance to get in position and stop whatever he's doing. And it's like too much thinking is not enough just doing.
Sorry. I think he's a little mental. I think he brings a lot of off-field issues into the game. And I know whatever he goes through on social media is not acceptable, but he's got to find a way. And Ray Rooney said it the best. He's got to fix his problem.
David Beckham went through worse.
The worst ever. Whenever anyone talks about players going through abuse, nothing.
I don't think it's the worst ever. Sorry.
Dude, they hung him. They had him hanging.
No. Being called a monkey because you missed a penalty? No. No. No, no, no. Let's Sorry, see. Guys. Not the worst.
Someone says they're going to hang me or call me a monkey.
I agree with that, Mikey.
I'm not diluting it. I'm sorry. As a black man, I understand this is terrible.
N-word on my mural? No.
I agree with you, Mikey, there. Like, I really do. I agree with you. Like, what they went through when they missed those penalties is fucking despicable. And I'm not trying, like, so don't twist this. I'm not trying to, like, say, oh, but Beckham went through it for 4 fucking years. Not a year, not a summer. 4 years that man went through the torture. And it wasn't until the next tournament that they finally forgave him. So I'm not trying to say, like, hey, what they did was, you know, anywhere, like, kind of, we discount that. But Beckham did go through it for 4 solid years. And that's why I do say it is kind of the worst. Because it was for so long.
And the other thing too, Mikey, is what these boys went through is a systemic issue, right? Versus where...
That's why it's worse.
Well, but the pain of it is spread over every brown person who plays for this country. Versus what Beckham went through was targeted specifically at him. And then they went after his family too. I mean... I mean, it's six of, you know, what's the phrase? Six of one, half a dozen of the other. They're just bad, but...
I think they're both bad, for sure. But I just think that if I don't score for England, I'm a monkey.
Yeah.
And if I do, I'm just a monkey that scored for England.
It's just another day in Italy.
There's nothing I could do there. Whereas, like, if he scores for England, he's English. And all is well. It's like, there's really nothing you can do. It's definitely worse, but... In my eyes, because it's a systemic issue, I think that's way worse than it's a Euro and these guys are acting like it's halftime and they're acting like this. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely think that was pretty bad for sure. Rashford doesn't have a family like that for him to go after, so there's a difference. But I don't know. I'm never gonna unsee those things with the Beckham thing. It's a little older, so I've had some time to deal with that for sure.
Yeah. Sam says. He hasn't been the same since the World Cup, speaking of Rashford. It's a tough mental battle to go over, Sam says. And Sam says one more time, what about the back corners pushing play up and create chances? We haven't had much of that in consistent manner for a couple of seasons. He's talking about our style of play. Now, you know I'm a tactics guy.
Are you on about a forward or are you on about our fullbacks?
Yeah. Samson, what about the back corners? Are we pushing up?
I don't know, man. Delo was probably player of the season for me this year. And then, obviously, Shaw's been injured. But we got that new kid coming through, too. So I'm looking forward to seeing him this year.
And Malassia is supposed to be returning.
He said he's full go.
He's full go?
He's full go, baby. We don't need no left backs.
I'm going to believe it until I see him out the pitch in the flesh until I see him.
He said, you better not buy no left backs. I'm back. I'm joking.
We got one in the wings.
Are we concerned? Like, Shaw and Malassia as our left backs?
Damn.
Hell yeah.
Hell
yeah. Hell yeah, we concerned.
That's from Shaw, to be honest.
Oh, yes. He's the waste man.
What? It doesn't seem like any moves to move.
I don't think they give him a new contract. I don't.
Who, Shaw?
Yeah.
Oh no! Hell no! Hey, Sean, why Shaw with the England national team? What's Southgate thinking?
So this is what's confusing me. They didn't take Harry Maguire because they said that he wasn't going to fit until the knockout round.
Yeah.
So they take Luke Shaw, but to be fair, Luke Shaw was fit, then got re-injured in, you know,
training.
So I don't understand. I don't understand it either. You should have just took Harry Maguire at this point. But I don't know. And to be fair, like, as shit as he's been all season, they should have took fucking Rashford too, because Foden is terrible on the left side for England. Like, at least he could have came on and dragged another player over to him, you know? And Saka has somebody else instead of being double-marked the entire game. Like, do you not see the first game where Harry Kane was about to score a goal and Foden ran into the back of him? Get on the fucking back post! Sancho, like, I don't know. England's is Southgate. What do you expect?
I'm sorry I brought that up.
Yeah.
So sorry I brought that up.
I might not be on next Tuesday if England loses.
Oh my god! You gotta be on.
It's such a big topic, the three lines, because this on paper, this team is crazy. You're supposed to be doing madness.
This is their game, right? And the fact they've gone this long without winning, it is insane. What other game do you know that the creators of it? Right,
haven't won it
at the national at the major stage in 60 years.
Baseball.
What other? Is it golf?
Hockey. Golf.
Oh, hockey's real. Hockey's real.
Is it hockey?
Yeah.
Who created hockey?
Canada.
Canada. They haven't won it.
I was going to say baseball. You hit it with baseball.
Yeah.
So Canada hasn't won a hockey
tournament since the 90s, I believe. 92, I think.
Is not 60 years, Sean. It's 60 years. Who hasn't won it? It's an inception. That's crazy.
And
this guy said.
And Mikey, they want it so bad.
So bad. It's not even the World Cup. This is the half of World Cup.
Yeah, this is the Euros.
But Southgate is destroying it.
Oh, man.
He has to go. Win, lose, or draw. He can win it this year. He has to go.
You guys need to get Klopp.
It doesn't have to do with his changes. He does them way too late, too. And it's like,
nothing makes sense.
Was it one of his quotes that he didn't think he was going to lose? Something like that? Like,
one of his quotes was, we haven't got a natural replacement for Calvin fucking
Calvin Phillips.
Yeah.
He
lost a bunch of people with that. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maynou not sitting on the bench?
Exactly.
We got 2.5 minutes left, so.
2.5 minutes. Right before you guys, then we get off. So I know we talked about the three guys, right, that we might be signing. Besides them, do you guys see United signing anyone else? Or what other need we need plugged in?
No, I don't.
I don't see anybody else.
I think we might get a late one, and the interview with Bloomberg is going to what he said in the Bloomberg. Like, we're not going to be able to fix all the positions in the first year. I think we're going to start to see shit in January now for the first time. I think. But I think those three players, I think we might get some young players in. You know, maybe backups, but those are the three players I see.
I think there's going to be about three academy kids to be involved.
I just don't think we have the money without selling Sancho and Greenwood to be able to buy anybody else.
Yeah. That's the only issue with signing all these people in these positions is that United fans are going to get carried away and expect everything to be fixed, and that we're going to win the treble again next season. That's my only thing. Like, some, you know, a lot of people don't understand that this is going to take time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to take time.
You know, maybe this
is a big if, and I believe it can happen because we are getting a decent backroom staff now with the medical. I know we got rid of the last lot. If we can stay relatively healthy, we finish top four next year.
Whoa. I feel it.
I'm not touching it. I already have to wear a Chelsea jersey next season.
Can you imagine, Monty, listen to, you know what's going to happen to him?
I'm not going to the pub next season. I have a baby,
bro,
to take
You got to do it early. Get it over with, bro. Do it early.
You got to treat that baby right, man. Take
Absolutely not. Not down there with those hooligans.
Just do it early.
Noise-canceling headphones, man. Amazon.
Go early. Negative. Knock it out. Get it out the way. Get a couple flicks. Pay the debt. And then enjoy the rest of the season.
I won't be there.
You got to take a fit picture, though.
Yeah, you got to take a fit picture.
You got to. You lost the bet. You got to give him at least a picture, and I want to see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I won't be there, so there'll be nothing to see. But hey, good luck to you guys next season.
Anything else you guys want to plug out there or mention before we head out?
What about Mikey? What about show? You want to put that?
Oh
out?
Yeah, please plug that.
Are we set on Thursday?
We're gonna set up Thursday. I think next week we should do the show.
All right, yeah. So we got our show. We're gonna do what is it? That's 8 o'clock mm-hmm. Thursday, 8 p.m. Thursday. That's Eastern. So what's that? Five
Western.
Yeah,
that's five. I will you guys could in your traffic, you could be listening. You know, you're in traffic for half your lives anyway down over there. So why not turn on me and Sean and hear some real ball talk?
I'm gonna have a lot of comments.
Our new show, United Fan Zone, and I just finished the intro. You guys could look at it in the chat. And I can't wait to get it started. We're gonna have some real Sports Center like without the douchery of ESPN.
That's nice. That's cool.
Been a fun show. We'd like to thank Imani for coming on, the chairperson of MULA. She will be back on again.
The prez anymore?
The prez. As Cheese likes to mention. The prez.
I just do stuff. You know,
you're my prez. You always be my prez.
Oh, we went over a minute.
Mikey, thank you. Sean, thank you. Everyone. Great show, everybody. We got to leave.
Mike, Sean, good talking to you guys.
Germ, thank you.
For sure. Right.
Y'all have a good week.
You too.
Peace.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.